they've lost their minds, and citizens are starting to wake up to it by watching the price inflation of everything around them. And they don't believe that it's Putin's price hike, right? Because 90% of people know that that is just silly talk from silly people. The central bankers are at the center of this. It's central planning.
Hey guys, that was my friend David Jensen. And in this one, we explain how the Federal Reserve is destroying the U.S. economy pretty much on purpose. Shocker. Hey, before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. The CPI print on Friday, June 10th was 8.6%. That's the official inflation rate in the United States. And guess what? The real rate may be quite a bit higher. Some say 15 to 20%. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. You need financial freedom, not debt. Start a gold IRA with Noble Gold right now and you'll be safe. With gold, you shield your gains from taxes, you keep the real value of your money, and you own a global asset, something tangible. And this month, for every cash deal above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong by being smart with the money you have. So give Noble Gold a try. You can call them at 877-646-5347 now. Or to find out more, visit noblegoldinvestments.com. The link is below. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thanks so much for tuning in. Friends, we've got a very important broadcast here for you today. We're going to expose the 15 senators who are essentially traitors in my view. We're going to talk about the fact that climate change is now killing young, healthy people. And what happens when a big bank in Europe implodes? Well, it's not good. Joining me right now is one of my favorite analysts out there, David Jensen. I posted his latest at my site, thephaser.com. Proof the Fed is collapsing the U.S. economy. We're going to get into that too. David, welcome back.
How are you doing, Sean? Great to be back with you.
Great to have you. You emailed me out of the blue with a new email address, proof the Fed is collapsing the U.S. economy. We're going to get into that in a second. But first, let me expose these people, these senators who caved to Democrats on gun control tyranny. Replace these rhinos: Roy Blunt, Richard Burr, North Carolina, Shelley Moore Capito, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, John Cornyn, Joni Ernst, Lindsey Graham, of course, Mitch McConnell, of course, Lisa Murkowski, of course, Rob Portman, Mitt Romney, the ultimate rhino, along with Liz Cheney, Tom Tillis, Pat Toomey, and Todd Young of Indiana. Replace all of these rhinos, friends. And now for a very amusing clip from Flecka's talks. And I really want you to weigh in on this, David, after I play this. Climate change, they say, is killing young, healthy people.
Housekeeping. Guys, people are dying all of a sudden because of climate change. Yes, climate change got really bad over the last year, especially.
Yeah, it's accelerating.
And I guess young people, for no reason, are just dropping dead because of climate change. I think Justin Bieber and his wife caught a case of climate change.
Yeah, that was not dead, but...
Yeah, so just keep an eye out. Stay safe out there.
The climate really got to his central nervous system.
The climate has really gotten to his central nervous system.
And I actually feel bad. Like,
for me too.
Like, I'm... God bless, you know. I hope you get better, but man...
Climate change.
And then it says scientists studying temperature at which humans spontaneously die with increasing urgency. So yeah. The scientists are really hammering away, like, oh, man.
With all this climate change data, they're trying to make sense of all the people dropping dead for no reason who are younger. It hasn't really happened before. But in the last year, there's been a lot of climate change going around.
Isn't it beautiful when the powers that ought not be and their propaganda get so completely exposed, David, that it becomes satire? Fodder for satire?
In a way, it's quite sad in many ways. When you look at this announcement of this sudden adult death syndrome that they've announced, that it's normal for adults to be dropping dead, healthy adults to be dropping dead. And we see more than 1,000 athletes have collapsed in their various, on the field and in the various forums or fora on which they play. And more than 300 athletes have died in the last 18 months. Suddenly, it's really quite disturbing. And Sean, you know, the big picture here is that here in Canada, anyways, that Less than 2.5% of the hospitalized are youth under 25. And yet they say that that all the youth should have these experimental shots, you know, which had 4 months of testing, of safety testing versus the normal 6 to 10 years. And on top of that, the shots don't stop infection or transmission. So why would these youth who don't end up in the hospital, and zero healthy youth have died in North America of COVID? So why would healthy youth need this shot? And I still haven't heard a coherent answer. We're just told that it's safe and effective. Effective in which way, I don't know, but it doesn't stop infection, doesn't stop transmission, and these people don't need the shot to begin with.
Yeah, 100%. But only people who can think coherently understand the facts you just shared. And now there's mothers rushing to the Mall of America to get the jab for their infants and babies.
Oh, we've been waiting since we got vaccinated back in March of 2021. So we've been waiting every day for our kids to get vaccinated. So super excited.
The local news in my area was parroting the beauty of the shot for the babies now. You can get it for free at the Mall of America.
Well, sorry, one point, there's an infection fatality rate of 0.02% of all age groups in the healthy, 0.02%. And zero healthy youth have died from the shot, from COVID. So what are they doing?
Okay, but here's the good news, David. These people, the powers that ought not be, the New World Order pushers, have lost so much credibility. They've lost all credibility, including the mainstream horror media that peddles misinformation and disinformation like that. So imagine if you're Anthony Fauci or Bill Gates or Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum, or the CDC, the FDA, Albert Bourla, or Pfizer. No credibility left and nobody's buying it. And Tom Rentz says that's really starting to cause them quite a bit of concern. Listen to this.
I mean, listen, we've got lots of paperwork, some of which is public, some of which is not, indicating that they had pandemic after pandemic planned and lined up to keep people off, you know, off balance. And, you know, well, this isn't gone as planned and it's not going to go as planned. And what our intel is telling us, and it's intel, so there's a chance we're wrong, mm-hmm. but our intel is telling us that the other side is a bit panicked because it hasn't gone well, and it probably isn't going to go well. And so they're trying to figure out, you know, what do we do? And so there's, you know, now we're going to try and expedite this monkeypox thing because COVID didn't work out quite as well as they wanted. I mean, a lot of people got jabbed, a lot of people got sick, and a lot of more people are going to be dying from it. But the reality is that there's too many people that didn't get the jab and too many that got one jab and won't get another ever. You know, I mean, it's just, it's not gone well. So, you know, we need a new scary thing to get more people jabbed in more ways and to push more of this. And what it really is going to do is it's going to look like it's not credible because it's just stupid. Mm-hmm. You know what, all of a sudden now after 2020, right before the 2020 election, we start having pandemic after pandemic, even though in history that's never happened. You know, how stupid are we?
How stupid are we? David, how stupid are we? How stupid are these people? How stupid is that mother that took her baby to the Mall of America to get the mRNA experimental bioweapon when she hasn't studied it and she doesn't know anything about it and she doesn't know what's in it?
Good question. I think normalcy bias is something that keeps the average citizen so locked in to the high inertia narrative that we've got here is... they're just catching the headlines, whether it's in the financial markets or whether it's news on things of import like our health. And the consequences of the other side being right are so unnerving to them, it appears, that they just continue on the same track until they can't go any further. And I think that's when the breaking point hits. Now, everybody's got their breaking point and it's all at a different point, at a different place. But I think that we're increasingly seeing people that are just, you know, catching the incoherence of what we're being told and that are starting to ask questions. And you don't have to dig very deeply until you see that the logic structure is just not there in terms of the story that we're being given.
Well, and check this out. I'm sure you know, David, that one of the side effects of the bioweapon is shingles. And of course, they've rushed out a shingles vaccine, but now they're calling it monkeypox. And I just saw a clip earlier today on BitChute of hundreds of gay men in New York City standing outside some Chelsea health center, standing in line to get their monkeypox vaccine. So I'm starting to feel a little bit like Jeff Berwick over at Dollar Vigilante, who was very horrified by all of this stuff, like we all have been. But now he's actually coming to the conclusion that he says, I love the apocalypse. This apocalypse is great. All the dumb people are going to die. And you almost have to laugh like that to keep from crying because it's so horrifying. But I think he's right. The most uninformed among us are the ones that are going to fall for this thing. And evidently, they'll take any vaccine pushed by the authorities, including monkeypox vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to tell about the monkeypox story, but it's hitting a very, very, very small portion of the population, number one. And then we also have Justin Bieber with his Ramsey Hunt syndrome, which arises as a consequence of shingles. And we know that shingles outbreaks are one of the side effects of these experimental shots that are being given to the populace. So there's signs out there. And then Bieber's wife had a stroke as well, right? And you've just got to wonder what is going on. We've also had this news that Ed Dowd highlighted that there's an addition of 3 million handicapped Americans, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 3 million additional handicapped people in the U.S. Since the start of the vaccination program. So there's all kinds of signs that things aren't right out there. And, you know, certainly the probing minds are onto this, but I really think that just people are just so locked into the, both from a standpoint of fear and also from the standpoint of laziness of just not having to worry about anything. And if you ignore things for long enough, it's okay. And that has happened for quite a prolonged period of time. But I think now, especially with the economy coming unraveled, that the you can't continue on this approach of just ignoring things.
Yeah,
I think the saying out there is that you're free to ignore reality, but you're not free to ignore the consequences
of reality. 100%. And I tell you what, man, I've been living with this normalcy bias, the sleepwalking public for so long. What's going on right now? As life insurance payouts over the past year since the rollout of the vaccine, I should say, are up 160%, and people can't put two and two together. It just astounds me, but it doesn't really surprise me, because the same thing was true for me nearly 20 years ago when I would show coworkers the collapse of World Trade Center 7 on 9/11 at 5:20 in the afternoon, the free fall speed collapse of that building, and then Jane Stanley at the BBC reporting about it 10 minutes early. And my friends couldn't see what I saw. It didn't add up to them. It didn't make sense. They said nobody could be so evil. It must be CGI. I mean, every excuse in the book, and these same people will make the same excuses for Big Pharma in the rollout of the bioweapon, and they won't listen to reason. It's crazy. It really is a sleepwalking, zombified public to a large degree.
Yeah. Well, there's the other aspect about this, Sean, is that mass formation psychosis. And that's been something that Robert Malone has really been highlighting, and the Dutch psychiatrist, I forget what his name is right now, but they've done a lot of work in terms of the research on this. And it just, you know, it can be infuriating for those who aren't caught up in the psychosis, but really I'm looking at all of this together as basically a new form of warfare with this virus out of China. China cutting off exports of 30% of the world's phosphates, which are used for fertilizer, really contributing to a global food panic that I think is going to be hitting us in the next 12 months here, as well as a whole series of other things, Union Pacific disrupting flows of fertilizers, disrupting flows of DEF fluid. Mm-hmm. There's a whole series of other things that seem to be coming together, but when you look at a big picture, it sure looks like asymmetric warfare against the current system and the push for the billionaire communism, World Economic Forum, Great Reset. So difficult to sort out, but with time things become more clear. But I really think that the people that we're bumping into that have cognitive dissonance to the point that they can't deal with information are really caught up in this this mass psychosis syndrome or complex, and we can almost look at them as collateral damage in an ongoing new style of warfare.
That's exactly what it is, and those of us who can think can see it. And you mentioned the DEF shortage. Without diesel oil, friends, there is no more energy for life. There is no more food in the stores, food for your belly. There is nothing. They can shut down this economy if they shut down the diesel oil. And, you know, I spoke about this in a recent interview, and I cited Mike Adams' evidence that this is a very real shortage. And if things don't turn around in the next couple of months, we will have no diesel oil in the trucks, and the trucks and trains will stop running. And I think, David, if you really want to think about the conspiratorial strategy in play here, you got to look to those Rothschild Rockefeller networks, the BlackRock networks, the trillionaires and billionaires that own the majority of all of these companies. And they can shut down the rails, and they can shut down the processing plants, and they can do sabotage. And I don't think that's a bridge too far to think that that is exactly what is happening as they try to engineer famine. And I'll add to that by saying I made a recent video calling Joe Biden a mass murderer because energy is life. And what's the first thing he did when he became president? He shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. And then he started to kill these oil and gas leases on federal land. So if they kill energy, and we know energy is life, we can't have life without energy and food, then that's it. This is engineered. All of it is engineered. It's being made to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a couple of elements there. I mean, the shortage that we're seeing of diesel now across North America has been driven not so much by the shortage of crude oil, although that comes into play with time, but it's been to date been driven by the shortage of refining capacity, which has been pushed by the regulatory requirements we put in place, the prohibitive regulatory compliance issues. For sure, we're seeing unusually low levels in terms of the reserves. When you look at the EIA, Energy Information Agency, weekly reports on crude, they are low, but the diesel storage levels are extraordinarily low. And that has been driven by this 7%-ish drop in the refining capacity. And it's, you know, with a functioning economy, the demand for fuel is inelastic, especially when you look at diesel, which the economy runs on, right? It's the trains and the trucks out there on which the economy functions all run on diesel right now. And you disrupt diesel, that you're going to have a horrific problem. The second point that you note there in terms of the diesel oil shortage, that there's two companies, as you mentioned, Mike Adams' note there, and there's really two companies in the world, of which one is Chevron, and the other one is I believe it's AMSOIL, produce the additives to create the diesel oil, and that without the specialized oil, these engines don't function very well. And that both of these plants now are announcing, or both of these companies, pardon me, are announcing a complete a stoppage of shipment of product for an extended period of time, upwards of 6 months to a year. I mean, it makes, you couldn't do that. I mean, you wouldn't do that because you know exactly how disruptive that is to the economy. So there has to be some kind of a middle ground here. And it's just really curious that both of these companies have both at the same time announced a prolonged total shutdown. So what's going on? I don't know, but it's, you know, between the disruptions of shipment by Union Pacific and the disruption of the DEF availability, and then the disruption of the availability of diesel oil on which these engines can't function. It's very curious, and it's very concerning at the very least. And we need to mobilize resources to address these issues. And I'm hoping that they will be addressed here in the short term.
Yeah, well, it's a good segue to your latest here. The Fed is collapsing the U.S. economy because, again, I think this is all a controlled demolition. It's being made to happen all at the same time. It's an engineered collapse, and they're trying to engineer famine. They're also engineering a drought in the American West. So let's go to your first slide, and let's just talk about the Fed destroying the U.S. economy on purpose. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. Well, wouldn't you know it, the CPI print on Friday, June 10th was 8.6%. That's the official inflation rate in the United States. And guess what? The real rate may be quite a bit higher. Some say 15 to 20%. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. You need financial freedom, not debt. Start a gold IRA with Noble Gold right now, and you'll be safe. This month, for every cash deal above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong by being smart with the money you have. So give Noble Gold a try. You can call them at 877-646-5347 now. Or to find out more, visit noblegoldinvestments.com. So let's go to your first slide and let's just talk about the Fed destroying the U.S. economy on purpose. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I mean, that slide is a good place there. We can see the growth in total debt in the United States that's happened since 1971, that arrow highlighting there when the U.S. went off the gold standard, as they call it, or closed the gold window. But the real term is default because they had promised to allow foreign central banks to exchange dollars for gold. And a default happened at that point. So, by the way, a quick side comment here is that gold standards, in air quotes, are just a fiat money system in which you promise not to create more fiat than the gold that you have. And it's always violated for a different reason each time, but it's always fails. The only money is the gold money and silver money. But as soon as you go to paper, you're at risk. And we have to find a solution for that, whether it's blockchain technology or something else. But we have to find a way to ensure that the metal is available. Net of it all, the net of all this, though, Sean, is that there's $90 trillion of debt, according to the Federal Reserve. So $90 trillion, all sectors, federal, state, corporate, consumer, municipal, etc. So every 1% that the Fed raises interest rates is $900 billion a year in additional interest payments.
Say that again. Every what?
Every 1% that 1%. The Fed raises rates equates to a $900 billion a year increase in interest rates.
Yeah, now, it's completely unsustainable. We can't pay that interest. And by the way, who is that interest paid to? Is it these same bankers? Is it these same international banksters?
Bondholders. So there's bondholders and debt holders of all stripes. A heck of a lot of it is held by retirement funds. But you know, the bottom line here is that as the interest rates go up, the bonds that the funds retirement funds hold drop in value. So it's only when they're reissued and they buy new ones that they get the higher interest rate. But as it is right now, you know, the interest rates have gone to around 3-ish% on the 10-year treasury. But it can go a lot higher given that we're seeing, you know, a CPI consumer price index of 8.6% per year. Year-over-year increase in the cost of goods, and in reality, it's probably between 10% and 15%.
Yeah, according to John Williams, in the traditional way to measure inflation, we're at 15% to 17% at least.
Yeah, it's a 1980 CPI measure is 17, and the 1990 CPI measure that the Bureau of Labor Statistics uses is 13 to 14. So it just depends on which measure you want to use. But even if you look at trueflation, they're 10.9% today, 11.9% today, pardon me. So inflation is very high. And that's a consequence of money printing. We had a 40% increase now in the total outstanding money stock M2 by the Fed in the last 2 years. And when you raise the level in the pool, so to speak, in the monetary pool, the currency pool, then the price of all goods over time rises to reflect that increase in liquidity. And that just is what it is. But the bottom line is you've got a $25 trillion economy in round numbers, and you want to strip $900 billion or $0.9 trillion out of that economy per year for each 1% interest rate rise. And it's just completely unsustainable.
Well, you got to love the fact, and you can comment on this and tell us why this could possibly occur amidst all this money printing and charts like this. Silver goes down. The thesis was we were all buying physical silver to protect us from just such an event as this, and it's not working.
Well, silver and gold, the pricing that we follow on a daily basis is set in London and New York primarily, and it is driven by trade and promissory notes. And as you know, there's no limit on the number of promises that you can make. The price of silver and gold can easily be contained as long as there's sufficient supply. But as you and I talked about back in 2016 about the palladium market, that we were seeing signs there that shortage was hitting. And sure enough, there was a 5x move in the palladium price over the next 24 months. The reason for that is that once the shortage, the physical shortage hits, you can no longer create infinite available metal in promissory notes, sell it into the market and take out the trading stops and then cascade the price down with regularity. And that's what silver and gold have been able to do to date. But we're seeing the lease rate rise in silver, especially indicating the onset of a shortage of physical silver, just as we saw in palladium starting in 2016. And at that point, it's the termination of the promissory note paper trade.
Oh, good. How far away are we from a real world, or at least a much more fair silver price?
Yeah, well, we'll see. Nobody knows the exact date. I'd be dishonest to give you one, but we'll see here. I'm just watching it closely here, and I'll send you a note as soon as I see a continuance upwards of the current lease rates. But they are far above in percentage terms. They're up around 1% right now on the various tenors. That normally those numbers are negative when you have sufficient supply in the market, because it costs money to store and insure silver. So when you lease it from somebody, the holders actually like to lease it out because they don't have to store it and insure it. So we'll see with time, but I think it's, the signs are here that it's very similar to the 2016 palladium situation.
All right. So let me ask you this. My theory on the supply chain in the contrived food shortages that are being made to happen. I think this is all part of the engineered collapse. They're trying to destroy the United States. Is the Fed in on this plan? Are they doing exactly what they ought not be doing by destroying the economy with these rising rates? Or do they have to do it because inflation's so bad? What's going on here?
Okay, well, just a quick point on food. The shortage of food is real. China cut off the phosphate exports July.
Yep.
And that's 30% of the world's supply. And we're seeing food shortages and food riots in Iran. Sri Lanka has announced, the prime minister has announced that economy has collapsed. We're seeing food riots in Iraq. We saw that 3-4 months ago because of shortage. There's shortage in Egypt. There's a shortage in Lebanon because they're not getting the shipments out of the Ukraine. So the global food shortage is very real. It was started by the Chinese cutting off global shipments of phosphates, followed on in November of last year by their cutting off of shipment of nitrogen fertilizers. So it is something that's very real. Now, in terms of the Fed, looking at this chart that we're seeing here in front of us, the true money supply chart, it reflects annual change in the amount of outstanding money, but it's really currency, but they call it money. But we'll use the term money for the purposes of this discussion. And the true money supply, I think, gives the best measure. It was developed by Murray Rothbard and Joseph Salerno did some follow-on work on it. But it's really identifying what unit of exchange is used for final payment and final settlement of trade. And the TMS measure, when you look at it, it's the dark blue or black curve in this graph here. It really shows you how erratic and how unstable the Fed's monetary policy was in terms of incredibly high increases of the outstanding money, sudden constriction leading to market collapses 3 times in a row, back in 2000 and 2008 and then 2020. We were already seeing in August, September of 2020, the Fed was entering the repo market because that market became unstable. And you can see why, because they had cut the money supply growth down into that, 7% and lower range sustained over time, which following a monetary inflation triggers a market event in these last three cases that we're seeing here. So, but the key thing there, Sean, is that big red arrow that you see, the horizontal red arrow to the right, mm-hmm. that the Fed, in a panic to support the government, the central planners' sudden shutdown of the economy for COVID, and keep in mind here, we're talking about COVID, which had an infection fatality rate of 0.02% in healthy adults. And so what we had here was a horrific mishandling of COVID by the CDC, the FDA, the various administrations. And then a panicked response by the Fed that, you know, nothing matters except the fact that we support this battle against this terrible bug. And when you look at a 39% increase in the year over year total outstanding money in the system, that is the level of the economic swimming pool in terms of the money stock. And increasing the money stock by that much leads to rises of all goods. Now, it takes 12 to 24 months typically for you to see the onset of the price inflation. But you double the amount of money out there, prices double over time. It's just the way that things go. So what we have here, though, is just because of the horrific level of increase of the money stock, it has triggered price inflation in the economy. And the way that the Fed responds to that, they claim that they're trying to slow down the economy because the inflation is caused by demand. But that's not the real case. What they need to do is raise the interest rates to stop the loans. And we have a debt-based money system. And what they're trying to do is decrease the loans so that the money isn't increased, the debt money isn't increasing as much on an annual basis anymore. The problem that we have, this is a completely debt addicted society that the Fed has created, especially over the, you know, the last 4 decades, you know, leading from the early 80s until today. And blowing a monetary debt bubble like this, and then panically, in a panic fashion, raising interest rates, seizes up the economy. And both because of the interest rates having a horrific impact on the economy, and also the fact that the liquidity, which is the creation of further debt money, which is needed to sustain the artificial nature of the economy, is terminated. And so what we're seeing here is basically very, very bad policy set. Now, does this all fit together in one big plan? We'll know with time and access to documents. I don't think the Fed was an insider, if you want to call that, but certainly the panicked response is not one of a prudent operator. And certainly we know that central planning always fails. And, you know, now we're in for it for putting together this central planning money system, which extracted wealth and led to bust after bust after bust over the decades.
Well, let me just give you my view for the audience, too, who's probably screaming in the background that this is all a conspiracy to destroy, essentially usher in their great reset. And I think if you wanted to bring down a nation, if you wanted to bring down the dollar, if you wanted to bring down Western civilization and usher in your great reset, you'd war game a pandemic, just as the Rockefeller Foundation did in 2010. And you would war game how this all plays out, and you would all plot and plan how to orchestrate this collapse. And then when you usher in the pandemic and you have already agreed to shut down the economy, then the Fed just dutifully responds by printing 39% more money in 1 year? I mean, to me, that sounds like a fantastic way to bring everything down, to bring down the house of cards. I don't see how this happens by accident.
Well, yeah. The question is, why shut down the economy when this bug, in air quotes, is taking down 0.02% yeah. of healthy people?
That's exactly right.
Right. Why do you crash and collapse the debt bubble economy? Right. And collapsing an economy from running the money supply like this and then spiking interest rates is no solution, you know, to crashing the economy from above. I mean, it's just killing the economy in a different way. But the fact is that the bug wasn't killing the economy, but the monetary money supply that we're seeing here in your next or my next slide here certainly is. And you can see there the red line, which is the debt. And this is how you collapse economy. You just over 40 years increase the debt to $90 trillion. And that's roughly 3.5 times the economic output of the economy on an annual basis. So they went from, you look at the blue line, that's the GDP, the relatively horizontal blue line. And you look at the red line, which is the debt, and you can see how a completely artificial debt-driven economy was created over the decades. And the debt versus GDP went from 150% to 350% of the economy. So the level of distortion, speculation, unproductive activity, which is driven just by the loose money over time, creates an economy that's so dependent on debt that it can't deal with periods of tight money. So what better way to take it down than to say, oh, there's a bug, we've got to print. And so they printed, you know, it's digital money, most of it, but we'll call it printing. And you send the inflation rate skyrocketing due to the fact that that purple line, which is the money supply, by the way, that's M2, not the TMS. So the TMS is much worse than that. It's 50% higher than that 27% increase. Roughly it was 39%. And you spike the money supply knowing that that's going to lead to runaway consumer price index or goods price inflation the next year, the next 24 months. And you know that's going to spike interest rates. And you know that those spiking interest rates are going to cause a horrific problem in terms of the debt bubble economy and will ultimately terminate it. And you can't afford $900 billion a year extracted from the economy for every 1%. And it's coming now. Interest rates are rising. And even if the Fed stops rising the overnight rates, the bond market is not going to stop raising rates. And, you know, the Fed controls overnight and the bond market controls the rest. And that level and the rest of the maturities, you know, out to a 30-year treasury and other securities that are traded. And that CPI rate is not going to stop. It's going to continue to rise because there's been such an excessive increase in the money stock in that swimming pool full of currency that the economy functions on.
All right. I still have so many questions for you, and we're 40 minutes deep here, but that's fine. I think this is so important. Where is the inflation the worst in the world right now? Is it Argentina? Is it Venezuela? Where's the other place where the food riots are happening that you mentioned?
Well, I mean, Turkey, I think I saw 70%.
Turkey, yep, Turkey.
70% a couple months ago. But, I mean, there's real food shortage, like grain shortage in Iran. There's real grain shortage in Sri Lanka. There's real grain shortage in India, right? We're hearing about these things around the world. And it's a completely predictable consequence of shutting off the availability of fertilizer on which our industrial farming system does function right now. And some people are saying this is a good thing. Well, the fact that it's so sudden is not a good thing because you're going to lose a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the global food shortage that we're seeing is only going to get compounded. And by the way, China has 50% of the world's stored grain and has 75% of the world's stored corn. Isn't that convenient when they cut off the shipment of phosphate and nitrogen-based fertilizers globally and cause a drop in food production? They need to answer some questions.
Let's say you're DeSantis in Florida or Kristi Noem in South Dakota. Let's say you are a smart governor who respects the Constitution, the state Constitution, and you really want to shelter people from this engineered inflation that could really bring us to our knees. Is there anything states can do to shelter their citizens from this controlled demolition? And I'm sort of thinking about, would a state dare break away from the federal government and the dollar and issue its own currency from its own state treasury and try to bring this thing under control within their own state boundaries? Would that work? Is that even remotely possible?
Well, that's a really good question, Sean. I think that the bottom line, the way I look at this is no one's coming to save you. And the state is not going to come. Don't rely on someone else to come save you. For every potato plant that's planted, you can get 3 to 5 pounds of potatoes in typical places in North America. So there are things that people can do. Unfortunately, none of our governments is telling people to prepare for food shortage. You can make bread out of potatoes. Here in Canada, they asked Trudeau what we're going to do about this coming global shortage of food. And he said that, you know, in this coming time, Canadians are going to do what they've always done. They're going to be there for each other, which is just complete psychobabble, right? It's just silly, right? We're going to deal with a food shortage, a physical food shortage, by being there for each other. So the bottom line here is that there's 25 billion ounces of silver in the hands of citizens, and there's, you know, millions of ounces of gold in the hands of citizens. And I think what's going to happen out of all this, Sean, is that people are going to start waking up. And, you know, the saying is that men lose their lives in herds, but regain them one at a time. And I think one at a time, people are going to be starting to wake up here, are going to start realizing that they need to become more self-sufficient. And it's going to, you know, what they call Liberty Gardens or, you know, whatever in the Second World War to keep things going. And people are going to start forming networks, and they're going to start forming using their own exchange. A critical aspect of this is the failure of the containment of silver, because silver historically was the medium of day-to-day exchange, you know, for the economy to go on, for food, for fuel, for paying rent, etc. Gold was the money of kings, and silver was the monetary lubricant that kept the economy, the wheels turning on the economy. It has been the most targeted commodity in terms of containing the price. It's essential that people don't wake up to the value of that, because they want to get the central bank digital currency into play. They don't want people doing an end run on the system using a physical medium of exchange outside the system. But I think that people are really waking up quickly. If you look at the Wall Street Silver site, you know, they've got a couple hundred thousand people in there exchanging ideas on physical metal. And that has only been in existence for 18 months on Reddit. So people are waking up, and the money printers have gone wild. You know, there was a famous saying about the, you know, people losing their minds and animal instincts seizing people in the market. And the question has always been, well, what happens when animal instincts seize the minds of the regulators, being the central bankers? And that is what has happened here. They've lost their minds, and citizens are starting to wake up to it by watching the price inflation of everything around them. And they don't believe that it's Putin's price hike, right? Because 90% of people know that is just silly talk from silly people. But the central bankers are at the center of this. It's central planning. And the central planners blew the biggest debt bubble in history here with the U.S. economy. By the way, the Canadian economy, we're over 500% of GDP, of debt versus GDP. When you look at all levels of debt in the system, you know, federal, provincial, corporate, consumer, et cetera. So these central planners have gone completely hog wild, and the spike in the money supply for the non-lethal COVID for the vast majority of the population now is leading to this runaway price inflation. And what will chase it is yields in the bond market and in debt. And that is what's going to break down the system. And people just need to know. They need to be self-reliant and resourceful. They need to work together and form networks and get ready for what is to come. They're not coming to save you. DeSantis is not going to save you. Noam is not going to come save you. So get gear up and get ready, and don't rely on other people here. We've got to sort this out ourselves. And we've got to look away from the central planners in government who have gotten us to this place in the first place.
All right. As we round out the conversation, I want to play a clip here in a second from Rafi Farber and show you guys the Credit Suisse stock chart. And Rafi asks the question, what happens when a big bank in Europe implodes? Before I play that, how bad do you think the inflation could get in this environment? How bad could it get in the States?
Well, if there's a very powerful downturn, the Fed may well relight quantitative easing, in which they print money. You know, they've added $8 trillion to their balance sheet here in a relatively few number of years. And what they will do, though, when they do that U-turn and say, oh, you know, the economy's having a very bad time here, we need to relight QE, is that I think you'll send oil to $200 a drum in a heartbeat. Because people are going to be looking at, well, wait a minute, we've already got inflation here. Yeah, the economy has slowed down drastically, but printing money the last time didn't solve anything. And what they're just going to do is compound this inflation problem and dilute this currency, this debt bubble currency, even further. And at that point, you're going to start having a run. I think at that point, they'll say, you know what? Desperate times call for desperate measures. We've got to force through the central bank digital currency. And by the way, we'll throw in a little social credit scoring system with it and cut you off, as we saw Trudeau did with the truckers, cutting off their bank accounts because they don't like the message. The nonviolent freedom movement, many of the people had their accounts chopped, and they did it not because there was terrorism or an emergency, but because they didn't like the message, because it threatened them. So I think a U-turn here, Sean, is going to lead to an instantaneous explosion in prices as people just say, we've got to get out of this digital funny money and get real assets. And then you'll see copper, gold, silver, oil, food just absolutely fly.
Isn't it just amazing? Silver at $21. You and I were having these conversations back in 2016, 17. Silver was probably around these same prices. It's just insane. Do you think silver is the world's most undervalued tangible asset? What are some of the most undervalued tangible assets?
Well, I just, of the common ones, silver for sure. I mean, if you just look, it's, if you call it 15 to one in the earth's crust and 9 to 1 in terms of mining production, but relative to gold, its trading rate, the availability of the metal from production is that there's roughly 10 times or 11 times more silver produced than gold. In round numbers, it's in that range. I think it's $850 million from mine supply, and the rest is it comes from scrap recycling.
850 million ounces, you mean?
Yep, 850 million ounces. And you know,
annually.
Annually, and about 90 million ounces of gold in round numbers. Mm-hmm. So if you take those numbers and then you say, well, but it's trading at a price of 70 to 80 to 1 relative to gold, right? That you can see how imbalanced the valuation is there just relative to gold. And then when you throw in the backdrop of this unlimited fiat debt currency that's being created, this, you know, call them the Republic credits as they did in Star Wars. You know, the production of these Republic credits is going wild. And, you know, citizens are soon going to start saying we want something more real. And it doesn't take very many people to move. You know, if you've got 1 billion ounces in available metal to market in all the visible storage, that's not all available to market. And you've got a couple hundred million ounces in the COMEX warehouses, and all that isn't available to market. It takes relatively little compared to the trillions and trillions of dollars being printed out there to reset the price. And when the price does start to move, as palladium did start to move, that 25 billion ounces in the hands of citizens globally is going to start moving. That monolith is going to start to creak, and it's going to start to slowly rotate. And when it does, these digital currency storytellers are going to be in a bit of a panic, because at that point, their ability to control people, once people switch on and realize that this blockchain-based central bank digital currency is just the next scam and the next control device, then their game is over.
Man, that would be a glorious day for humanity. All right, well, in the last 10 minutes here, and if you need more time than that to process this, then that's fine. But I want to play this clip from my buddy Rafi Farber over on Chris Marcus' channel, Arcadia Economics. You guys should subscribe. Great little channel over there on YouTube. Let me play this, because what happens when one of these big banks in Europe implodes? And by the way, friends, the EU is in worse shape than we are by far here in this country. But listen to this.
I want to look at Credit Suisse, because there is going to come a day where some big G-SIB, or generally systemically important bank in Europe, is going to collapse. It's going to happen one day very soon. And once that happens, it's going to trigger a domino effect, and it's going to trigger euro printing. It's going to leak into the United States across the pond, and the Fed is going to start printing also. It's going to be the final monetary bonanza. It's going to start with one G-SIB bank somewhere in the world, probably in Europe. Here's Credit Suisse. You see here, we are at an all-time low in its stock price. This looks like the most pathetic bank chart I've ever seen. We have gone below the March 2020 lows, which was a financial crisis, especially for banks. And I can show you why this is happening from a fundamental perspective, or at least one of the reasons that it is. First of all, I found this statement in the Credit Suisse annual report for 2021. Here, they understand basically what the end game entails, and this is what they write about it. The scenario framework also considers a range of other severe scenarios, including a specific Eurozone crisis scenario, which assumes the default of selected European countries, currently modeled to include Greece, Ireland, Italy, Portugal, and Spain, basically the pigs, the ones that are severely indebted. It is assumed that the sovereigns, financial institutions, and corporates within these countries default, with a 100% loss of sovereign and financial institutions exposures and a 0 to 100% loss of corporates, depending on their credit ratings. And here's the key sentence that shows you that Credit Suisse kind of understands this. They say, as part of this scenario, we additionally assume a severe market sell-off involving an equity market crash, widening credit spreads, a rally in the price of gold and hence silver, and a devaluation of the euro.
I'll pause it there. Just one housekeeping note, guys. See this little wheel here? You can adjust the playback speed on these. And I think if you all listen to my interviews at 1.25 speed or 1.5 speed, you'll enjoy them and hear them just as well and get through them a lot quicker. I played that back at 1.25 speed. David, what are your thoughts on the EU and what Rafi's outlining there?
Yeah, it's, you know, we don't know if it's going to be a big hedge fund or a bank. That's still to be determined. But I think the key here is that they're going to take cause a disruption in the bond market. I think that's the key out there, number one. So, but for sure, the leverage that's in the system is being destabilized by the rising rates, and the lubricant is being dried out of the system. At some point, things are going to seize. So what it is that takes what down, we don't know at this point, but it'll likely be a bank or a large hedge fund. You know, if you look at, you know, over the years here, both the asset-backed securities and other traded assets that have historically been seizing or near seizing, that's caused, you know, long-term capital is another example, you know, which was a ruble trade, which ended up nearly seizing the market. So we'll see what it is that causes the final collapse, you know, of the system or seizure of the system. And then I think we'll see the almost immediate introduction of the central bank digital currency. Quick note here, if I can take the liberty on Jeff Christian. If the guy understood the market, he would be telling people that you can't follow the price as an indicator of what's going on with gold and silver, because they're trading promissory notes. And, you know, promissory notes aren't a physical trade. They are a artificial trade. And since they were heavily pushed into existence in 1987 with the formation of the LBMA, Evelyn Rothschild intensely lobbied Margaret Thatcher to create that institution. We've had a complete distortion of the physical gold and silver markets, and the price signals that we're getting from the trading of promissory notes is highly distortive to the actual supply demand situation in the markets. And Jeffrey Christian owes me a lunch. He sat down about 2 feet from me at a restaurant in Manhattan in I think 2007, and I couldn't finish my lunch. he can send me a GoFundMe of some sort and pay me the $20 for my spoiled lunch.
What a small world.
I knew back then that he was preaching hokum.
Well, and for those who maybe haven't listened to me for the past decade or more, and you and I in our conversations, and me and Bix Weir and me and others talking about Jeff Christian, he's the biggest shill for the banks and those that use paper derivatives to suppress the price of silver and gold. He claims it doesn't happen. It's not real. There's no manipulation, when now the whole world can see the manipulation. I certainly hope that at some point, we, the people who bought the physical stuff, are rewarded for what should have been prescience by now. There should have been a lot of praise coming to those of us who suggested people protect themselves with real money, physical silver and physical gold. It just really hasn't happened yet, but I think the day will come.
You've got to follow the availability of physical metal to market. The best way I know of is the London lease rate. Unfortunately, you can't get a hold of those except through a bullion bank that have access to it. Now, Gold Charts Trust does produce a implied gold and silver lease rate, which are you know, derived from the futures market. So there is distortion in there. And they do typically give a low and sometimes much lower level of a lease rate than the physical market in London. But we're seeing now that even that implied lease rate starting to move up. That's what you want to follow in terms of supply and demand. You don't want to follow the price action, which is basically on a daily basis until that market fails, is driven by promissory note trade.
All right. Well, I've really enjoyed our conversation. Is the best way for people to follow you on your Telegram channel?
Telegram. Actually, Gab is probably the best. It's David Jensen. It's the easiest to find. LinkedIn kicked me out. My professional account was shut down, and Twitter. What? Yeah, and Twitter shut me down because I was posting research reports on ivermectin.
Oh boy.
So that was a no-no for both of those social media outlets. I also have a Telegram account, global_political_events. That's kind of a silver squeeze, gold channel. I've only got 56 followers there, so it's pretty minuscule. But I had 10,000 followers on Twitter. That was just wiped out. You cannot post research reports on ivermectin, Nobel Prize winning ivermectin.
Yeah, and let me just say this too, as it pertains to people getting kicked off of platforms. It really is injurious to those of us it's happened to, because it limits our ability to reach out to each other and talk. Like when I was on Twitter, I could DM people and invite them on to my show. People who don't know me, people who are maybe, you know, people who are better known than me and have more followers than I did. The same is true on YouTube. There's people I want to reach out to on YouTube, but now I can't because I don't have a YouTube channel and I can't DM them. Right. So that's why we're involved. I'm involved in a lawsuit suing Google and YouTube in state court in California and ultimately, hopefully, taking it to the Supreme Court, because we're also sick and tired of this censorship. At any rate, friends, we got to get these rhinos out of our government. We got to take our government back. It's not even a government. It's a corporatocracy. It's a corporate government masquerading as a republic. And we just need to take this whole thing back. We got to take our republic back. We got to opt out of all of this tyranny, David.
Yeah. I agree, Sean. One quick note here is that I have just started it. Well, I've got two or three videos on YouTube until they figure out that I'm posting stuff they don't like. And I have a BitChute account too, which, and both of them under just the name David Jensen. So I'll try to post thoughts there on the gold and silver market and economically what we see in the future as well.
All right. Very good. Do me a favor. Send me a link to each of these sites that you want people to come and subscribe to, Telegram, BitChute, YouTube, and I will post those links below this interview, and you should gather up at least a few more dozen subscribers, maybe more.
Excellent. Thanks for your help, Sean, and I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, thanks, brother. It's good to catch up. And friends, I want to thank each and every one of you, too, for tuning in. A special thank you to our subscribe stars. I should leave the link to that below, too. We could use your support. And our members at sgtreport.tv, where we have a server beyond the reach of Big Brother, Google, YouTube, Susan Wojcicki, Sundar Pichai. All right. And friends, for real news every single day, visit us for free at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
General Valley has talked to me about the Chinese plan. They've actually taken a satellite shot at the entire United States, quadrant by quadrant, and they have every single home marked for a family in China. Like, they are ready and waiting for us to completely collapse.